This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Leroy Nagin!
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Dirt got fired. He's looking for a job. Don't hire him. He's just stay away from the guy. It's sports radio, 1080 The Fan. Not with Dirt. Sorry, dude.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
What is a Sprague? We should just call him Craig. Yeah, that's your new name, Craig.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I'm here to support a friend and a work colleague.
You don't know what love is.
Love you very much, Francine.
The Fan.
Let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on a Tuesday. Thanks for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. That was a fun Fartgate conversation. We got to the bottom of it. Now we got all sorts of fart texts coming in at the Better You Today text line. That's a good way to start the final hour.
Sure.
I'd say. Gundy's voice fart, still a classic. Still classic.
Imagine if Gundy's fart was what Kellerman's was.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Real loud. Like, if it's real, real loud, like it's the most obvious of farts. Do you think Stephen A. and Molly ignore it and act like it didn't happen, or do you think they acknowledge it and have fun with it?
Ignore it.
I know.
I think they're too stuck up. They would ignore it. They should acknowledge it because it's hilarious.
Molly's more likely than Stephen A. is just going to keep going. He was on a roll.
Yeah, he wasn't stopping for nobody.
Well, I don't know if he heard it, though.
He might not have.
He might not have heard it.
Yeah, because Swigart did have to amplify the audio, because if you just listen to it normally, and it's all over the internet, it's not necessarily clear initially. So good job by Swag to amplify that stuff. Coming up in the final hour, Matt Pinto, he's going to join us in about 10 minutes. He's the Thunder play-by-play guy. We'll talk about game two, get some more thoughts on that. Break it all down, whole bunch still to come. Let's get to the NBA playoffs, though. Last night, the Golden State Warriors did something that was just absolutely unthinkable, and I didn't realize it until this morning because I turned the game off. It was a 31-point game in the third quarter. They blew it. They went on to lose at home. And then you also had last night, the only other game going on in the NBA was Philly. And they scored 51 points in the third quarter. 51 to beat Brooklyn. They scored 145 last night. They gave up 123 and still won by 22 points. But are the Golden State Warriors vulnerable is the big question today.
Yeah, I mean, to say they're not, I think, would be a misstep. Now, will they win the championship? Sure, they're the odds-on favorite. But how can we watch these two games, and even with the end up running away with it, like the Clippers play them tough. And I think what you have in the NBA now is you don't have this. I think different eras get stuck with the player or the teams of their era. And what I mean by that is when you have a Jordan, when you have a Kobe Shaq combo, when you get a Duncan in his prime and a LeBron, I think you have these people are kind of intimidated and they've accepted that their lot in life is second to those people. And then those players or those teams start to come back to reality and you get those new wave of players, those veteran mixed guys who go, oh, they're vulnerable now. I don't care about them. I'm tired of this crap. And I think the NBA has that going for them. Does that mean they'll beat Golden State? No, it doesn't. But you think when Giannis plays Golden State in the finals, he's going to be in awe and care about KD and Steph and Klay? He'll be worried about how they match up defensively, but he's going to go out there and play hard. Houston had them on the ropes last year, dead to rights. They should have won that series. Chris Paul gets hurt. They miss 27 straight threes. Story writes itself. Golden State wins. They go on to win the finals in four.
Right.
I don't think you have a league that is afraid, intimidated, or nervous about playing Golden State anymore. And I think the Clippers are showing that to everybody. Like, you go in there and you play your ass off and you don't back down in your physical, you're going to have a shot. It doesn't mean you'll win, but you have a shot. And they had a shot in game one. Golden State's talent overwhelmed them. They didn't quit in game two. And I give them a great deal of credit for that because you and so many other people probably turn that game off at halftime, if not at the beginning of the third when it rose to 28, 29, 30, 31.
They were up 31. By 23 at the half, and the lead rose to 31 in the third quarter.
And I think everybody watching was like, well, here we go again. They're up 2-0. They're going to sweep. And they didn't quit. They didn't care. They don't back down. Beverly has rent in KD's head right now. I love it. And I think the rest of the league, Dirt, whether they defeat him or not, I don't know, but I love that the rest of the league, I think, is the same way, and I think you're going to see that from Houston if they get past Utah.
The interesting part, too, is for Golden State losing that game, even if they hold on to win, let's say they blow the lead and then they find a way to beat LA and they go up 2-0, there's still a storyline around them today. It's just being overshadowed because of the fact they lost the game, and that's that Boogie is likely done for the rest of the playoffs. They said there's a slim chance maybe he comes back in the NBA Finals if they get there, but he tore his left quad. And if you saw the picture, you'll know how nasty it looks. So it was a non-contact injury. He was running in the open floor after a loose ball, goes down, and there's a picture of him walking to the locker room. Did you see that? Like, his quad is sticking out of his leg.
It looked like somebody, when you flex your leg after a leg, to see how yoked your leg
and
is.
He's just walking normally, and that thing's sticking out like 5 inches from his leg. It's the weirdest thing.
Barkley talked about that too, because he tore his quad.
Oh, really?
And he just talked. It's not fun. It's really miserable.
Yeah. So maybe they're saying there's a chance, but it's slim that he comes back in the NBA Finals. And that's, I think, is even a bigger story. Like, sure, they blew the lead, and we can all have fun with that and joke about, hey, 3-1 lead they blew, 31-point lead they blew. That's all fun. But they're losing a pretty key guy. Like, defensively,
I disagree. But
you disagree with that?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Defensively, there's issues there.
Yeah.
But you're taking away a guy who can score and help you out a little bit offensively.
I know he can score. I still think he's going to be a good player when he goes elsewhere. I actually feel really bad for him. You can hate DeMarcus Cousins. You don't want to see a guy get kind of cheated out of a few years of his career with injury. I don't think he fits their system well. I think it's always been a little clunky. I remember the initial reaction was like everybody else. Oh my God, of course they got him for $5 million. It's such a warrior thing to happen. But this is what the gamble was this is why teams didn't want to step up and give him the money he wanted. We didn't know what he was like after the Achilles. And then of course his body's a big guy, his leg kind of breaking down a little bit. That was a non-contact injury. He's running after a loose ball and that happens. I just didn't know. I didn't think he contributed enough offensively. I don't think he fit really well. He's not perimeter-oriented enough. The spacing thing was kind of weird. And defensively, he was a huge liability. So I know in name that's big, and I acknowledge that I think he gives you something offensively, but I think this might actually end up being better for them. I think now you can play a little smaller. You can speed it up a little more, the tempo. And he was always kind of out of shape anyway. It took him a while to get in game shape. And I think now Golden State might play better without him.
The tough part, too, for him now is what kind of deal is he going to get on the open market?
I know.
Like, that's the – I mean, and maybe somebody's still willing to throw a deal at him. This isn't an Achilles injury like he had last year, where you didn't know when he was going to come back, what he was going to look like when he came back. Like, there were all sorts of questions about him. Those won't necessarily exist, but you at least had a chance to see him play on the biggest stage. The guy plays two playoff – not even really – I mean, that was 4 minutes into the game last night.
You know that was his first one of his career?
Really? And now he's done.
And that is tough.
I think you feel for him in that situation. Yeah. But we'll see where Golden State goes. I said it earlier in the show, and I feel this way. I am going to lay every penny I got on them to cover the spread in game three. They're going to send a message. They led by 31 for a reason. And they let their foot off the gas. Durant fouled out. Curry was in foul trouble. They sleptwalked towards the finish line, and they paid for it. They deserve to lose that game, but they're going to be fine, at least in this round. I know that for a fact.
I know you're not losing faith they win the title. I don't blame you for that. Where would you put your shock value if Houston gets them in round two?
I would put it. I would give Houston a 25% chance to win that series.
Okay.
I would still say 25.
That's fair, given what they still obviously have.
I think Houston's still a very good team. I don't think they're as good defensively as they were last year, losing some of their pieces from that roster. They did look really good in game one, but how much of that Houston opinion, too, are we basing off of game one? Like, what if they struggle and lose game two tonight?
And I think they could. That's why I'm not trying to overreact. I'm just saying if Houston is to get by Utah.
Or tomorrow, excuse me, they play tomorrow.
Right. If Houston is able to get by Utah.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm almost wondering if they'd prefer at this point to say, yeah, maybe we just want them round two and it's better for us health-wise. Because you have Paul healthy, Capella's healthy.
Yeah.
Everybody's kind of intact right now, and you went up 3-2 against them last year.
I would love nothing more than seeing Golden State losing and opening it up for everybody else. That would be the best thing to happen in the NBA in a long time.
Well, and not to get too far ahead, we got other teams we can talk about, but if KD leaves, that's the funniest thing. We're going to go back 3 years ago and go, remember how everybody bitched and moaned about how they're going to run the NBA out and
yeah, it would be
they got two titles. That way they'd finish with two titles in the KD era right. if he leaves.
This would be the final year of probably it would be similar to me. The final year of the LA stuff with Shaq and Kobe when you had Malone and Peyton sure. and they got there and they lost and yeah. that was a juggernaut that was no you know. And granted, they got their three titles before that, but. Nobody was supposed to beat that team.
Well, doesn't this on a larger point to the other series, Orlando-Toronto, and Orlando could lose tonight, and Philly and Brooklyn, and even Indiana was up on Boston for a while before they blew it. I think it speaks more the way these series have been going, the upsets on the road and whatnot. I think it speaks more to what this league could be if KD leaves. Yeah. Like, it just opens it up, and it gives you a yeah. snapshot of...
We're in lockstep on that, absolutely.
Yeah, the NBA, you guys might not be into the first round. That's fine. But the NBA might be, or actually might, if KD leaves, it will be the most parity the league's ever had.
Depending on who teams up with who, where he goes, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, if he doesn't, if there's not another super team that's created this offseason, yeah. I agree with you
and
there.
We've counted the teams. We end up at like 7 or 8 every time we do this if yep. KD leaves Golden State of true contenders to win the championship.
Yep, and that's what you have really in football. It's what you got in baseball. So I'm with you on that one. But Golden State loses last night. Boogie's done likely for the rest of the year with the quad injury. The other game last night, Philly got the big one. They scored 51 points in the third quarter. To silence some of their critics, at least, and tie up that series before they go back to Brooklyn in Game 3. We'll get to the other games to close out the show because there's a lot of pressure on the two home teams tonight that play before Portland. That's Denver and Toronto. But before we get to that, let's get to the Blazer game. Back into it. OKC, Portland tonight, 7:30 TNT Game 2. Matt Pinto, he's the play-by-play man for Oklahoma City. How are Thunder fans feeling, and what does he think about this series moving forward? We'll find out next right here on 1080 The Fan.
Push me up against the wall. Young tuck girl in a push-up.
Well, we don't know if we're on the air or not. Welcome back in.
Yeah, we got people telling us we're not on air. So are we on the stream?
If you're listening to the stream, let us know if you can still hear us. We're going to keep going and trooping on. Maybe at some point during the segment, we'll pop back up.
Somebody said, I love you guys so much. I'm listening to Dead Air for 5 minutes. That's, so we've got that going.
That is loyalty.
Yeah, and everybody's texting in right now. We're not on the air, so this is great.
Well, at least we can throw an interview up on the old podcast afterwards. And he is the trooper. We've been trying to get this one for a while. He's the play-by-play voice on the radio for the Oklahoma City Thunder as Game 2 is tonight. Matt Pinto joining us now. Matt, how are you today, man?
I'm good, guys. Good to be with you.
Yeah, well, thanks for joining us. So Game 1 goes down. Close back-and-forth game. Oklahoma City down by 19. They find a way back. It's kind of one of those interesting games where both teams have something to feel positive and negative about at the same time. What is the reaction that you've seen so far from the OKC side after falling down 0-1 in the series?
I think, you know, there are a lot of areas they've got to clean up. Obviously, you know, they're not accustomed to the sort of three-point shooting like they had. It was historic, in fact, at 15% and making only 5 threes. They had set a team record that the last regular season game, knocking down 23 three-pointers, so it was a total opposite end of the spectrum. I think that they felt as if they came out too soft when they finally dug in defensively. They played the final 2.5 quarters the way they know they need to play the entire game tonight. So there were some positives, but at the end of the day, they had chances to come back all the way and potentially win that thing, and they didn't do the things they needed to get that job done. And they know now it's on them to even this thing up at 1-1 tonight before they go home.
You know, Matt, a lot of people obviously pointing to Paul George, the injury he's dealing with. He continues to say he's fine. His shooting was horrific, as you mentioned, with their entire team effort from behind the arc. Are we buying it? Are we really to buy that he says he's pain-free and maybe that's just a one-off, or should there be more concern around Oklahoma City?
Oh, there's concern. I mean, he has issues with those shoulders. And, you know, nobody in the NBA is at 100% at this point overall. But there's a difference between having nicks and bruises and pain mm-hmm. versus being injured. And so that's the question about Paul right now. I don't think he'd be medically cleared unless the medical staff with the Thunder believe that he's capable of going out there performing and being the player that we've seen him be. So I'll be curious to see tonight. I know yesterday in watching him practice, he was definitely back in rhythm. He worked hard. He got a lot of shots up. He did the same at shoot-around today. And the league knows what he's capable of when he gets going. The Blazers are at the top of that list mm-hmm. towards them all season long in the regular season series. So I would expect a much better performance from him tonight.
Yeah, we're talking with Matt Pinto, play-by-play voice for Oklahoma City. Game 2 tonight, 7:30. You can see it on TNT. Join us on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline. Going into Game 2 as well, I think the fun part about a series is just watching the adjustments that both teams make and how you analyze what happened, you go over the film, and then you figure out a different way to do it either offensively or defensively. Portland got off to such a good start, and 39 points, I think it was, in the first quarter. They couldn't miss, and then slowly they got stifled a little bit, and they got cold. Is there anything that you saw in the second and third quarter that maybe OKC could take defensively and translate it early on? Because it felt like just kind of two different games there early for Portland.
Yeah, stay within 5 feet of the guy you're defending, and that would be nice. And they finally began doing that in the second quarter. I mean, the first quarter, it was like a free-for-all, and the Thunder did nothing well. They were not engaged defensively. They allowed the Blazers far too much freedom of movement and didn't get their signals straight. We're not communicating on the defensive end of the floor. And the end result was 39 points, 7 made three-pointers in the opening quarter, and the Blazers pushed that thing out to 19 only in the second. By the time OKC did get responsive to what the game plan was coming in and did a better job of communicating defensively as to when to switch and when they were going under a screen, where they were going over a screen, they did a much better job. And they showed a lot more pressure to the ball handlers that Portland has in Lillard and McCollum and Seth Curry, Evan Turner. And that's when things began to turn. And Oklahoma City was able to peck its way back into the game. The Thunder, by nature, are a defense-first team. When they're not engaged at that end of the floor, they're going to struggle because they're not explosive enough offensively without forcing turnovers to give people major headaches on that side of the ball. So I think that as the game wore on until, unfortunately for the Thunder, in the fourth quarter they had breakdowns as well, they gave themselves every chance to win that game despite the incredibly poor start.
Right.
And I think they're encouraged by that. But the bottom line is you got to go out and you got to take the fight to the Blazers tonight physically from the outset. If the Thunder can do that, I think they're the better team. They'll get home court back going home. And should end this series in six games is how I see it.
Yeah, Matt, you know, I have a two-parter for you, and it's about Enes Kanter. And I know what he said in the post game that Donovan said a few years ago that he didn't mean he couldn't actually play him the whole game. It was a miscommunication on what they caught him doing. But there is that stereotype of Enes Kanter. He's so bad defensively, it's tough to play him. We've been worried about that out here from the Portland side of things. One, were you surprised by that performance from him in a pretty big moment for the team? And two, do you expect Oklahoma City maybe to attack him more early, try to get him in foul trouble given the lack of depth at the big man spot?
Yeah, I don't think you game plan strictly for that. I think that would be ill-fated on the Thunder's part. I think you've got to compromise him by using or putting him in a lot of pick-and-roll situations, and whether that creates an ability to drive to the basket for Westbrook and George or simply have Adams rolling and creating problems at the rim, I think it compromises Portland's defense, and then you play off of that. Now, whether that means Kanter gets in foul trouble, I don't know, but he played far more minutes than the Thunder would like to see him play because of his offensive prowess and his ability on the offensive board for the Blazers. So they got to find some way tonight to minimize his impact for certain. I don't know how that will translate, but I do think the Thunder have the personnel to get that job done.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking with Matt Pinto. He's the radio voice for Oklahoma City, getting ready for Game 2 tonight. Should be a lot of fun. Game 1 was awesome, and this series could be a long, fun one. You know, we've spent so much time focusing on role players for Portland, and we know stars win in the series, and Paul George and Dame, and those guys will be the headliners. But we've been analyzing some of the role players for Portland and who can play better and maybe who needs to step up in case one of those guys doesn't play well. Who are the role players for Oklahoma City that you're circling and saying, man, you got to get more out of them in Game 2 that you didn't get in Game 1?
Well, the two are the starters. I mean, Ferguson and Grant have both been really good. Ferguson more offensively in the second half of the season, Grant all season long. Neither were factors on the offensive end of the floor in Game 1. That needs to change tonight. Ferguson in some ticky-tack foul problems in the opening half that minimized his playing time. He played only 17 minutes. And I think off the bench, obviously, Dennis Schroeder has got to shoot the ball a whole lot better. He was 5 of 17 in Game 1, missed all 7 of his three-point shots. I think he's a tough cover for the Blazers in terms of what their personnel package is, especially in that second unit, but he's got to make them pay when he's out there in favorable matchups. He didn't do that at all in the opener. So I think there's a lot of room for growth on the offensive end of the floor for the Thunder, obviously. Although you can look at their numbers and give Portland all the credit, the Blazers were first to say in the postgame press conference, there are a lot of substantially open looks that OKC did not knock down in the opening game, that if Portland counts on that happening tonight, I think they'll be in a tough position. They've got to play better defensively themselves, I think, tonight against OKC.
Yeah, you know, Matt, on this show, we actually, if we're being honest, we picked OKC in six, so our prediction sounds like we were all the same. If Portland is to win tonight, though, do you think Oklahoma City can win this series coming back from 0-2?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly possible. But I would say making any sort of prediction in the face of having not seen how this game goes wouldn't make any sense. I mean, right. You know, Portland comes out tonight and proves to the world that they're a better team than the Thunder. That's a totally different deal. If they dominate the board, if they get out and distance themselves in a way that, you know, has them winning by double figures, that's a lot different than what went on in game one. So I still think the Thunder are the better team, but with George's shoulder somewhat shaky and OKC being as sporadic as it's been all season long, I don't know what to really count on. So tonight is going to, I think, solidify a lot of what we anticipated coming into the series, and we'll see if it plays up the form and moves in the direction that I anticipated this series would. So I'll be very curious as well. I'll be very curious to see, especially the way the Thunder come out. Do they bring a defensive disposition to the court from the outset? If they do that, I think they establish themselves in game two, get home court, and win the series in six, as we said.
Matt, I don't know if the players, I mean, the players always have these opinions about officials. How do they feel about Scott Foster? He'll be there tonight. And two, on the officiating front, look, I'm coming from the Portland side of things. I felt like Portland benefited a lot by flopping a little bit and getting a lot of offensive foul calls. How important is stuff like that to this team as well in terms of allowing some physicality to be played, because you mentioned how good they are defensively?
Well, I think there are three areas to me that jump out. One is the obvious, the 5-of-33 three-point shooting. I'd be hard-pressed to say anything close to that will happen again in the course of this series, given what we know about OKC at that end of the floor and shooting the three. They were 22nd in the league in efficiency, but they didn't have a single night like this one all season long. Second thing is, you mentioned the offensive fouls. They had 5 in game one. They had 9 shots blocked. I think to duplicate that is unlikely, along with the 4-of-12 fast break opportunities in terms of failed finishes. They were 4-of-12 in transition in terms of conversion, which is also not like them. So I think, you know, those three things really jump out at me more than any other from game one. But, I'll be curious to see tonight. I mean, Scott Foster's reputation is he inserts himself into the flow of the game unnecessarily. So does that mean he swallows the whistle tonight with Jason Phillips and Carl Lane? Does it mean he calls more fouls than maybe need to be called to disrupt the flow of the game? That remains to be seen. But I think Oklahoma City is going to come out and establish itself physically early in game two, the same way the Blazers did in game one. The Blazers, I thought, were the aggressors from the outset physically. I think they got away with more contact early in game one, and that benefited them as the game unfolded. The Thunder have got to take that bull by the horns in game two.
Yeah, great stuff. Matt Pinto, play-by-play voice for Oklahoma City. Game two tonight, 7:30 on TNT. We can't wait. Should be a fun series. Matt, thanks so much for the time. Hope you're enjoying your stay in Portland, and hopefully we get a good game tonight.
Always. My pleasure, guys. Take care.
There you go. Matt Pinto, the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline. Good stuff from him. A quick update. Not that this does any service to say it, because if you're listening to Dead Air, you can't hear me saying this. We are not over the signal right now, but I do want to send a shout out, because sometimes this stuff happens behind the scenes and we're like flying blindfolded and we don't know what's happening.
Jason Swigart has run 3 miles in the last 5 minutes. So good job on him.
He's getting his steps in. I do want to thank all the people, though, listening on the app and the stream, texting in and letting us know that we're still over the stream and over the HD2 station. So we appreciate that, because we were like, why are we doing this interview? We don't know what's going on.
Thanks for sticking with us.
We appreciate it. And for all of you who are listening to the signal and then flip to the stream, we appreciate it. Yeah. So thanks for sticking with us. We'll try and get this stuff figured out. And thanks for hanging in there. Good stuff, though, from Matt Pinto. Let's talk about what he said. I love having play-by-play guys on, because they're
a little homer.
Look, they honk it up. It's the beauty of
it. They're paid by the team.
Right. And people get angry about it. That's the beauty of talking to a play-by-play guy. How do we feel? How's tonight going to go? Some thoughts on game two as we inch closer to the game between Portland and OKC. That is next. He's come to know. Hey, welcome back in. 2:34. It's like a private show just for the streamers. Just for you streamers out there.
I feel really bad.
We're still going on the HD2 channel, 99.52 HD.
Yeah, but for those like myself who don't have HD2, I really feel bad if you're in the car and you're forced to listen to something else.
Yeah.
Yes. Sorry about that.
Well, we're just having a nice little stream party here. Hanging out, swimming upstream.
Is this what we need to put us over into the FM stratosphere? Or
we'll see. Okay. We'll find out who was trying to listen, maybe. Maybe they'll ask some questions.
Or somebody from another company trying to sabotage us, kicking our
Well, should we go conspiracy
over?
Theory?
Hell yeah, dude. We've been on a good run.
I did.
It was right before the Thunder play-by-play guy came on.
It was.
So.
That could have been it.
Yep.
I don't know if this is a coincidence or not either. I did just get an email that says our engineer is retiring.
Kent's retiring?
That's pretty funny timing. How about that? Isn't that ironic? So there you go. Hey. Well, hey, you're streaming
with Thunder play tonight.
That's game two tonight in Portland. Blazers and Thunder. Okay. I can't believe that. We got some poll questions to answer. We'll get to that coming up to close out the show.
He's giving us a 3 month heads up.
Yeah. So, I mean, game one, it is one of those interesting games where you can feel positive and negative at the same time.
Yeah.
And that just happens throughout the course, I guess, of playoff games where there's bright spots you can cling to and say, man, I love that and do that again. And then there's spots where you're like, God, the turnovers and 15 points in the second quarter and all the open looks that you provided Oklahoma City with. How do we feel like the adjustments play out tonight? Because we know there's always adjustments in a series. Portland will tinker with what they did. OKC will bring you a slightly different look. How do we think that all develops tonight?
That's the tough thing, man. I know this is a kind of a cop-out, but I don't know what to make of both teams and what their response is to what game one was. I think both sides, whether it's Pinto or whether it's the most optimistic diehard Blazer fan, both sides have real arguments to say, yeah, should have won it, or yeah, sure. Didn't play well, but we won it.
Sure. Or it could have been a blowout, or could have been, right?
Yeah. You could take it so many different directions. My gut says that Paul George does not shoot so horrifically. They get more free throws. They come out from the start ready to go. It felt like they thought they would just walk into the Moda Center and be handed the game because Portland, in some people's minds, wanted the Utah, and they ended up getting OKC, and OKC beat them 4 times. There was a little arrogance to them watching that I was like, this isn't who the Thunder have been for a lot of the year to get blown out like this. I think they come in game two more locked in. It's just going to be what can Portland do to counteract production from Paul George, Ferguson making 3 to 4 threes tonight, Westbrook being maybe a little more efficient, and maybe the whistle's going in Oklahoma City's favor. Can Damian Lillard give you 35 to 40? Can CJ shoot a little more efficiently? Can Seth give you some points? Can Rodney Hood hit some shots? Can Cantor grab the offensive boards the way that he did? That's the toughest part of this series, is I think we all thought it was going to go a certain way, and game one was so wildly back and forth, and this team had reasons, and that team had reasons, and it came down to the end. Giving a true prediction is tough, but I'll say this. I think you get a lot of what you had at the end of that game in game one. I don't see a blowout here. If Oklahoma City wins, I think they win a really close game. Portland just doesn't strike me as a team that's laying down the way that they did the previous 2 years in round one. I think Damian and CJ have really set the tone for that. So I think you're going to get a better Oklahoma City performance. It's just going to be what can you do to counteract it if you're Portland.
I think you're going to see OKC go straight to the pick and roll, and they're going to put George on the same side on the wing or the corner. They're going to overload it and see how Portland decides they want to try and defend it, and they will try and isolate Cantor as much as possible early on and try and force him off the floor, either because he can't defend it or he gets into foul trouble. And from there, then Portland's got to figure out who else can give them offense to relieve all the pressure on Dame and CJ. I mean, if I was in the coaching staff in the huddle with OK, I'd be like, do not let up, pick and roll with, you know, Adams and Westbrook every single play. And that, I think that's kind of it as far as, and then for Portland, as long as Cantor's on there, how much offense can they run through him? Because they didn't seem to have much of an answer for Cantor, especially if he catches it high around between the free throw line and the dotted line in there to either little push shots or to get be able to go right or left with one dribble and get there and see if they're going to collapse. And at some point, it'll be left up to Chief and Mo. Can they hit at least some threes to keep the defense honest from OKC.
Well, the other thing, too, if I'm OKC, I'm trying to do tonight is keep Cantor off the offensive glass. What, well, he had seven offensive rebounds? And how many of those did he just immediately? I mean, he had 20 points
in
the game.
Well, he had two huge ones late.
Right?
He won the game for them on the offensive glass.
That was huge. Seven offensive boards in one game, and probably I would bet five of them immediately were put back just for dunks or layups. I mean, that's 10 points right there.
Quick had a blurb last week on the show where he'd mentioned, I think we told the story too, where Adams was in New York when Cantor was there, and he came in and Adams told Fizdale, you can't play him, he's not good. That's what I'm talking about, though, is this air of confidence, or arrogance, I should say, with OKC, is they think they know him, and I think he played with a huge chip on his shoulder.
Did.
And I
he
think
did.
He heard that that blurb. I think he knew about that story. I think he's read and heard everything about can't play Cantor. He's terrible defensively. He wasn't the best defender I've ever seen. He gave real good effort, and I know Adams finished with 17-9, but I bet Adams thought he was going to go for 24 to 25 points and get 13 or 14 boards. Cantor did an exceptional job of being aggressive on the glass, and I think it surprised Steven Adams. And that's the other part of this is Oklahoma City kind of lackadaisical, just allowing untimely offensive rebounds, second chance points, second possessions. They have to be more aggressive if they want to tie this series with Portland. And in the same sense, Portland needs to continue to do what they did. If you don't bring that energy, and I'm not even talking about being up 19, but if you don't bring the energy you had, Oklahoma City will win this game tonight.
It's going to be fun, man. I can't wait.
I'm going to miss some of the other NBA action and baseball, and I know some playoff hockey stuff going on. The unfortunate part is you miss some of this when you go to the game.
Right.
But I cannot wait to see how loud that arena is tonight and what the response is from the Thunder, because they know they are going to be the conversation on the national stage if they lose tonight and fall down 0-2.
Yeah, really. I mean, you go up 2-0 in a series. I said it earlier. We all picked Portland to win game one, and we all picked them to lose the series. I don't know if you guys agree with this. I'll ask you, I guess. But I said earlier, if Portland wins tonight, my opinion of the series does change. Do you guys feel the same?
Well, I said originally,
like, completely, you're switching your pick?
I don't know if I would switch my pick automatically.
You trusting them on the road there.
But I gave OKC, I think coming in, you asked me my odds. I had it like 65-35 OKC win. And if that, I mean, I flipped the advantage in Portland's favor, obviously, if they win tonight and go up 2-0.
I said the only way Portland wins this series is to win the first two games at home, and then I like them in seven. Otherwise, I think the Thunder will take it at six.
I too also said the whole cliche, a series isn't a series till someone wins in home court. Portland can win without having to do that.
Yeah.
I will put it more 60-40. I won't completely change my pick.
Okay.
But I'm also
going to. Sure, you go on the road and lose back-to-back games and you're right back to square
and you're
one.
Tied. Right. But I also will not tell you that my opinion won't change tomorrow if Portland looks pretty damn good and they win this game, I don't know, even 7, 8, 9 points tonight.
Well, all of you out there on the stream team listening, let's get your predictions. 55305 is the Better You Today text line.
The stream team, I like
that. Hashtag stream team. We did have P1 Sean say we should do a giveaway because the streamers can never win prizes. They're so further delayed than the radio listeners. So I don't know if we have anything to give away. Probably not.
Well,
but
how would people would lie? They'd call in and be like, oh, I'm a streamer.
I'm a stream teamer.
But they're ahead by a minute.
That's right. So how do you think the game's going to go tonight? Give us your thoughts and predictions. We'll give our final ones on the game, give our predictions for game two tonight. Also, big thing going on in hockey we need to get to. And how about the pressure on the two other teams playing tonight at home, trying to avoid falling down 0-2 in the NBA playoffs? That is where we close up the show next on The Fan. Enjoy P1 Dicker chiming in saying, hey, you guys are just on the stream. Let the cuss words fly. It's a perfect time for the dirt nickname story.
We probably could drop some F-bombs if we wanted to.
We're still over HD2, though, so that's technically still radio territory.
Do you think...
it's a whole thing.
If you were on satellite...
Would I cuss a lot? Yes.
Do you think you would?
Yeah, I would.
Like,
I cuss
allowed
all the
to
time.
Say anything you want.
I cuss like a sailor in regular life.
Because some people, if they don't hear you curse... And then suddenly you do a show where you're talking how you normally talk, but
cussing
you start cursing.
Time.
People are like, oh, look at him trying to be cool with all his cuss words.
It is a miracle with how often I cuss off the air that I don't cuss more often on the air.
Man.
It's a miracle. Yeah. It really is, because it's a part of my daily life.
Well, but it's just programmed in you for 3 hours to shut up.
Just shut it. Shut it up. Okay. Let's get to this. A couple of housekeeping items, and then we'll give our final predictions, okay? I need to throw this out because it's a big deal.
The people need the predictions.
They do. They need their predictions. It's got to be there. Look, you might not care, but you should. And please, let's just talk about the game and not make fun of the channel that it's on.
Is it Ohtani finally being able to hit?
No.
Oh.
No. Baseball is not going to make the final segment today. Tonight at 4 o'clock, Columbus is hosting Tampa in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Now, it's on CNBC, so you get your market watch right before or after the game. Okay? Get your stock
tip. Make sure my stocks are good.
Get your stock tip on the scroller.
My liberal-leaning stock update.
Tampa tied the record for most wins and points in the regular season in NHL history. They are down 0-3. If they could get swept tonight by a team who has never won a playoff series.
In their existence. Yeah.
So, look, you might not care. I'm just telling you, that's a big deal. And it's at 4 o'clock on CNBC.
And no President's Trophy-winning team has ever been swept in the first round. Some have lost first-round series, but none of them have been swept in the first round.
They are down 3-0 to Columbus.
This would be historic.
So did anybody see it coming?
No. Nobody.
Okay.
Tampa in 4, Tampa in 5. That was everybody's
pick. It was Tampa
pick.
In 3 is what it was.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go back and look at the prices of the series at the start to see how giant and underdog.
This is like, imagine how we would be talking about Golden State being down 3-0 to the Clippers in the first round. So and facing a sweep to the LA Clippers. We would be like, what?
Is Tampa the new Washington?
They've been to a Stanley Cup. They didn't win.
Well, the head coach that's currently at Columbus was the head coach at Tampa when they won their Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Tortorella.
That's a good point.
Oh, that guy's Torts. Kind of a D-bag.
But he can coach himself some hockey.
Well, I love the honesty. I know he's kind of a D-bag, but I like the honesty.
He had a good one the other day. He was at a press conference, and somebody called a reporter, and their phone was up there on the podium, and it was ringing, and he answered it and talked. And it was the person's mom. He was like, he's at work right now. What do you need? And he just like interrupted.
He's talking to an old lady. What do you need? He's at work right now.
Awesome. Well, at least he didn't cuss.
Yeah.
What the hell is wrong with you? Was he fired or did he leave?
I think eventually he wears out his welcome everywhere he's been. Now, I don't know if his contract was up and they didn't re-sign him or if they turfed him. I can't remember.
Because if they turfed him, it makes the story that much better for him.
I'd have to go back and look.
Overall.
Yeah. He never leaves anywhere on good terms.
No, he never does.
He just wears everybody out.
He's one of those guys.
I'll be at the Moda Center, and they usually have one of the TVs on some playoff hockey.
Yeah. Just keep an eye on it.
4 o'clock, first game up. It's on CNBC.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. Also in the NBA tonight, before we make our hot Blazer predictions, who is under more pressure? Now, I asked you guys this question yesterday, and you all told me Philly. Now, my Sixers went on to roll. They scored 51 points in a quarter. Nothing to see here. Who's under more pressure tonight? Is it Toronto or Denver? Because they both lost game one on their home floor in embarrassing fashion
for Denver.
Look,
you still have a lot of young talent on Denver, whereas, like, I know Toronto has young talent too, but you're not going to probably have Kawhi again. You're going to have to trade Kyle Lowry if you lose. It's got to be Toronto. Because here's the other thing. Denver fan isn't real. Their attendance is always a joke. Half the time for big games, they're there, but they're cheering for the other team. This is like a one-off in a long time for them. Toronto fan is going to this game. They pack that square. They show them outside all the time watching games. Mm-hmm. They're going in thinking they're going to lose. And so each miss that's crucial and each Kyle Lowry flub, you're going to feel it through your TV. That's how big it's going to be in that arena. If Denver loses, I don't think that many people are shocked by that 7-2 upset. Yeah. If Toronto loses, it's not quite Tampa because it's not the best record, but a lot of people had Toronto in 4. Toronto in 5.
Yeah,
nobody
would
see Orlando. Remember, I mentioned this. The only person that picked Orlando was Damon Jones.
He did.
And he goes, I don't care what the internet says. They're playing good defense, and they're hitting perimeter shots. And he looked right. He looked like a prophet after game one.
He did.
I will say more pressure on Toronto than Denver.
I agree with you there, too. I also will take those games to go the way Philly did. I think Toronto bounces back with a better effort. Kyle Lowry sucks in the playoffs. We know that. But he's going to at least score tonight. Kawhi will be better. I think Toronto bounces back with a win. I think Denver does as well. Even though they didn't look great at times in game one against San Antonio, I think they're at home. They're a great home team. They're favored, by the way. If you like those dogs tonight, just to keep an eye on this for the gambling aspect, Toronto's favored by somewhere in the range of 10 points tonight. Favored by 10. And Denver is favored somewhere in the range of 7.
I'll take Spurs plus the 7, and I will take the Magic
plus
they both
the cover?
10.
They could. I might take both Denver and Toronto to win, but those are interesting lines if you like the dog in those games. But the one we all care about, of course, 7:30 tonight, TNT, Portland and OKC. Portland looking to go up 2-0 in the series. We haven't seen him win back-to-back playoff games since their win over the Clippers a couple of years back. Haven't seen him start 2-0 in a series since the Houston series when they went on the road and Aldridge went crazy.
LaMarcus, back-to-back 40-point games.
They won both those games on the road before coming home. How does it go tonight? Portland, by the way, favored by 1.5, I believe, the last I saw in Vegas. So essentially a toss-up, 1.5 favorites. How does it go tonight?
I'm going to do it, and I think you guys might be happy about this. I'm going to take Oklahoma City to win tonight in a very, very close good ball game. I think this is going to maybe prove wrong. I have it in 6. I think maybe this does go 7. Paul George, we're going to know right away how he truly feels based on what we see from him. But I think for game 2 tonight, Oklahoma City makes some adjustments. They don't start out with that lack of energy. And Portland, maybe they fall in a close game.
Swigard, game 2 predictions. How does it go tonight?
I like the Blazers by 6.
Whoa. Just quick, immediate.
What do I need to explain anything for? There's my pick.
Blazers up 2-0 in the series.
There you go.
I liked Portland to come out with a nice start in the series and win game 1. I think this is going to be an ebbs and flow series. I think it's going to go at least 6 games, and I'm going to take Oklahoma City to win tonight.
Okay.
I don't take Paul George at his word that he's pain-free. But I do buy into the rust factor that he talked about. Like he said, I hadn't shot a basketball in 4 days. That was as big of a deal for me not having a good game 1 performance
right.
as much as the pain. And he's shot the ball a couple of days in a row now. I think he's going to be in a better rhythm and will play better tonight.
Well, and I watched his warm-up, and that was the first time he shot the ball was in that warm-up. And he wasn't particularly great, but it was just a warm-up. And then you watch the game, and I remember Marcus going, you know, why you keep shooting like that? I'm like, dude. This dude needs to get in. He's going to just keep putting shots up. And eventually some of them fell at the end.
Sure.
Maybe they fall tonight.
All I know, it's going to be fun. It's going to be an awesome atmosphere. Portland's got a chance to, prove a lot of people wrong. They go up 2-0. Doesn't mean the series is over, but
no.
That's a big step that some people weren't quite sure they could take.
You put
so
much pressure on OKC if you go up 2-0.
Yeah. Then it comes down to game 3. We know that if they find a way to win tonight. So, should be a lot of fun. 7:30 on TNT. If you miss any of our show today, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. For those of you who switch from the signal to the stream, it is greatly appreciated. And if you miss any of the show because of the dead air, the podcast will be up. It'll all be there. So if you want to go back and find it, you can. We'll tweet it out at Thurton Sprague and at 1080thefan as well. We had Matt Pinto on, the play-by-play voice of OKC, if you want to go catch that as well. Thanks for being a part of our Tuesday, everybody. We're going to be breaking down game 2 probably for most of the show tomorrow. We'll see if the Blazers can get a win. Talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next, listening to 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.